All right, special episode, Graham.
Special indeed.
Yeah, this is a bonus episode. It's not a spoiler.
No.
It's not a regular episode.
No. What is it?
It's not. It's a surprise. It is a surprise. I was going to say it's not a surprise. No, it is. It really is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We like to, every year, promote the Shriekfest Film Horror Film Festival that comes up in early October. And they're actually one of our favorite horror film festivals. And they do some really innovative programming with shorts and features every single year. And we've got the festival director online. We're going to get a little preview of Shriekfest this year. Ladies and gentlemen, horror aficionado, festival programmer, actress, writer, producer, ladies and gentlemen, Denise Gossett.
Hello, guys.
How's it going? Now, you're in Florida right now, right?
Excellent. I'm a little tired because we're getting ready for the festival, but I'm doing excellent.
What are you most excited about this year going into it? Now, first of all, before you answer that, how many years have you guys been doing this festival now?
This will be the 18th year.
Wow. 18 years. Doing anything for 18 years is amazing.
I know, right?
That's a lot.
So how did you not quit after five? We want to know that.
Chris, I don't know if you've ever talked about it before, but believe me, there have been plenty of times where I said, this is it. Yeah. This is the last year. I am done. And you see what happened. I'm still here.
Yes.
Something's wrong with me.
Well, you know, a lot of people go into festival programming for the financial rewards. So that's that's what it is.
And little do they know, and then they're out of business and year two.
Yeah. Everybody thinks festivals are just like, it's free money.
Yeah.
Just I know, right?
Have a festival and you'll make so much money.
Mm-hmm. Sponsors will never pull out. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And there is literally like a horror film festival on every corner now, like 7-Eleven.
Right.
Yep.
Well,
it
now
is a joke.
You actually expanded Shriekfest. Now you're doing one in Florida too, right?
Yes, because I'm doubly insane.
Now, is it the same programming or do you mix up the programming?
So what we're doing, since this will be the second year in Florida, we are doing just the shorts program. I feel like it's easier to get a crowd out to have a taste of Shriekfest with short films rather than feature films.
Oh, okay. So it's a shorter festival in Florida?
It's a one-day event from 2 to 10 p.m. on November 3rd.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So 18 years, wow. Now, what has changed in the festival over the last 18 years? Like, what has increased, what has dropped off, and what have you, like, you know what, I'm never doing that again, and I wish I had this.
Well, okay, so when we started, people were submitting films on VHS.
Wow.
Then it went to DVD. Mm-hmm. Now it's like everything is online or files or film freeway or without a box.
Mm-hmm.
It's really simplified more because back then, literally, like if I had judges, they would either have to come pick them up or I'd have to go to them and deliver all these VHS tapes.
Wow. Yeah,
now
I remember.
It's just a click of a button to get things to judges. It's wonderful.
I remember when I was doing festival programming, I did it for HBO Comedy Festival for the shorts program. And you would just pick up a box of VHS tapes and you would have to, and then return them.
Well, I remember submitting to festivals back in like 2000, 2001, and they would say, don't use those recycled type of envelopes that were like
fiber. They left a film.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's yes. Right.
Oh, yeah, paper.
Yeah.
So like when you ripped into it, all that paper would shred everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I remember literally seeing
inside the VHS.
Yeah. And it would literally be on the websites for you to submit.
Yep.
They'd be like, do not use these type of envelopes because it'll ruin your VHS tape.
Yes, exactly. And people would just plop them in an envelope and they wouldn't pad it and they'd be broken.
Yep. Yep. You had to buy, I remember you had to buy all these padded envelopes and VHS tapes.
And you had to write a check for every entry fee.
Yes, you had to submit a check.
Yes. Yeah. Life has changed.
I know. It sounds like we're talking about something from 70 years
right
ago.
Now.
You know, like, and the Iceman would carry a block of ice up your three flights of stairs.
And that would run the projector. Yeah.
And guys, what's even scarier is there are people alive today that have no clue what a VHS is.
I know. It's true.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But we're very excited for the 18th year. As you know, Neil is a staple there every single year. We'll get a nice article from him. And, you know, when he covers a festival, he covers a festival. He'll be there from the beginning and on Friday to the award ceremony on Sunday.
Do you guys just...
I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
A lot of horror.
Well, that's the thing. My question is, do you guys just have like the honorary Neil T. Weekly cot?
Yeah.
Or is there a bunk bed or how does this work?
You know, we should. I should have like a wheel in cot for him and then like bring him breakfast.
Yeah. Is he the one guy you let walk around in pajamas? Is that the guy?
He should. You know what? I should allow him to do that.
Well, what are the movies that maybe you're excited about this year that people can, if they're in town and can go to, what are you kind of looking forward towards?
Oh my gosh, there's so many good ones. There's some actual scary ones. So let's see. I'll start with the features. Oh, if you guys are a Friday 13th fan, there is a fan film we're showing this year called Never Hike Alone.
Oh.
It's wonderful.
That right there just to me is a testament to not only your festival, but the horror genre. I think we've talked about it before in this show, but it definitely bears repeating, is that the horror fan is a very unique type of fan.
Yes.
And the fact that they would do
an entire feature as a fan film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is of a you know, franchise.
Franchise that has like 20 movies in it already.
That they just couldn't get enough of. And then that you guys were like, yep, we're putting it on festival. I just think it speaks to the love and the devotion of the horror film fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they are going to love it. Because I know when I watched it, I did not read. I don't like to read the synopsis. I want to go into it not knowing a thing. Mm-hmm. So I did not know this was a fan film. And so I'm watching and I see this dude hiking and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is all good. Where are we going with this? And then there's little tips to set you off of where we're going with this. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? This is great.
This is, eventually you get to, eventually you get to Crystal Lake, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Without giving too much away, he's hiking and he finds a fallen sign and it's like covered up in brush. And he removes the brush and you see it says Camp Crystal Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, wait a minute, where are we going with this? And it's really fun. I think the fans will really enjoy seeing this film.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's a beautiful thing about a fan film. It is only for the diehards.
Yes.
I mean, it is only for people who... that would be a fun movie to watch live at your festival because just for the reaction from the people in the audience.
And there's very few other places you're going to be able to get to see it. I mean, you're going to get to see it at a festival or online on his own website.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
You know, goes on YouTube, copyright infringement, goes on anywhere else. You know, it's, you know, you'll get nailed unless it's, you know, about the Grateful Dead, then they don't care.
Well, I mean, that's the thing we always say on this show about why it's important to go to festivals and support festivals is a lot of these movies, you know, they're not going to get theatrical distribution. So a festival is one of the few places you can actually see it on a big screen and enjoy the movie in an usually, you know, film festival audiences are usually really fired up and really excited and... You know, I know when we premiered Earbuds at the San Francisco Doc Festival, it was such a cool experience because it was like podcast fans and doc, you know, supporters all together. And you get that electric energy.
Yeah.
And you know, it's great that there's that movies can be sold online. We didn't get theatrical distribution, and it's a great business platform. But I like highly encourage people to go to your festival and other film festivals to see these really cool indie films and short films too, live on a big screen, because you're not going to be able to see it in that format anywhere else. Mm-mm.
Right, exactly. I feel like film festivals are going to start taking a turn. I think they're going to show less features. This is not what I want to happen, but I think they're going to show less features, because the features are going to get their distribution, whether it's VOD or streaming or whatever it is. But the short films, you can't see them just anywhere.
Right.
Right. And not enough companies are doing, you know, anthologies and stringing them together. They're just not doing it.
Right, right. So I guess with all the different partners and how easy it is to get movies on demand and without theatrical distribution, a lot more companies are, especially with the streaming services like Netflix and Amazon, they're snapping up a lot more films. So, you know, movies that may not have gotten distribution before are getting them now.
Right.
Because no one seems to care at that level. No one cares about a theatrical release. You know, it's okay, Amazon, Netflix, you know, Hulu, whatever. We're going to go one of these places. That's where we're going to be, iTunes and whatever. So what are some other films? We'll stay on the features right now that you're excited about this year.
Okay.
And when are they playing?
Okay. So Alive is our opening feature for Friday night at 7 p.m., October 5th. And it is one of those crazy films that the whole time you're trying to guess. You are trying to guess, and then you think, oh, I know what it is. And, oh, nope, maybe not. Okay, now I think I know what it is. And you will never guess what it is. Never. And that's what makes it so thrilling and exciting.
Well, that's great, too, Alive. Because I think it's, you know, I love inventive filmmaking. I love when a filmmaker forces the audience to be sort of unsure, and you just don't know where you're being taken on the ride. And that's something that,
and you know, indie horror is really where things are being, the envelope's being pushed. I mean, there was over a decade of where indie horror was where the envelope was being pushed and studio horror was unwatchable. Now that's finally correcting.
Yeah.
It's taken a very long time, far longer than it should have. for us to get It and Stranger Things and, you know, some really interesting
Get Out.
Things. Yeah. So it's taken, I'm like, well, why did that take 20 years? You know, when instead we were getting The Fog remakes, you know, things like that.
Exactly. So. You know, I ask myself that every year. I just want to say, studio executives, you need to come to Shriek Fest, because even, let's say they grabbed one of the short films just for the concept.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is so unique. There's no repeaters here.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I wish we had access. Like, I wish some studio executives would look and go to Shriek Fest to find these. Because, like, as you say, even a cool short film with a really inventive premise or theme that you could flesh out into a three-act feature, I would think they would want, since everyone just needs content, I would think they would be scouring festivals like yours to get stuff.
Well, now the features do get picked up. The features do get picked up at your festival, right?
Isn't there a lot of... They will all get picked up except for the fan film, because I don't think they can legally make any money off of it.
No, they can't. But I remember you saying that even years ago, saying that, you know, the features at Shriek Fest usually all get picked up.
Yep. As a matter of fact, I already have people emailing like, okay, do any of your films have distribution? I'd like to tap into them. I'm like, well, you can get your butt down there and talk to the filmmakers.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't you don't charge a little taste to put the distributor and the filmmaker together? Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
So, okay, so we have Alive on Friday. So what are some of the other the features coming up?
Then we have Echoes of Fear, which follows Alive at 9 p.m. on Friday. And it is scary. It is another one you're not sure what's going on, but it is creepy. There are ghosts. There are dead bodies. Like, you don't know what's going on. It is fun. And That one's directed by a husband and wife team, Brian and Lo Avenue Bradley. And they've done a lot of things through the past years. They've been in Shriekfest several times. And they just, together, they are something. But usually it's just Brian directing and Laurence is the DP. This year they teamed up and they co-directed.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. So. And then, of course, we have, after that, we have the fan film for late night viewing at 11 o'clock.
Don't hike alone.
Then, of course, we have our wonderful shorts. But to continue with the features, we have Ashes. This is a world premiere, and it is a comedy, and it's a lot of fun. There are possessions, ghosts. It's kind of Elizabeth Keener's in it. It is a lot of fun.
So tell us when Ashes is again.
It is a horror comedy. And it's about...
when is it?
Oh, when is it? I'm sorry. It is Saturday at 4 p.m.
Ooh. Huh. Maybe that's a movie I might actually go to.
There you go. Yay. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we have at 6:15 Chimera on Saturday. And that is a crazy science fiction movie. About this mad scientist, or is he? We don't know. Who, his children have a disease, and he freezes them in hopes of finding the cure.
Nice.
That's good parenting. Wow.
So that takes you down a whole lot of roads.
Mm-hmm. Is he doing the right thing, or is he out of his mind?
Yeah.
Exactly. Do we know, and do we find out? Mm-hmm. I can't tell. And then at 8 o'clock we have Camp Coldbrook, which is a horror, and it has ghosts, and this one is actually stars Daniel Harris and Chad Michael Murray. Mm-hmm. And it is good. It's really good. There's lots of scary part. They go up to an abandoned camp that had some murders at it years ago.
What's really wrong with the camps? How come camps are always, there's always murder at the camps?
I know.
You'd think they hired a security guard at one point.
They would have figured it out. Like, stop letting murderers come into your campsite.
Don't send your kids to
camp. Yeah. I'm so glad I didn't go to camp as a kid. I would be murdered already.
Yeah, that's it. As a parent, that's it. You're a horny teenager. I'm sending you to camp.
You're going to camp. It's either that or military school.
Yeah. Camp is cheaper.
Camp is cheaper, and you might be dead, so I don't have to pay for college.
Yeah. And if anything happens, we're going to freeze you.
Right, exactly. We'll bring you back somehow. Yeah. We will work it out. Joe Dante is one of the producers on that.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah, which I was kind of surprised at, that he's getting involved in independent films, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that's where he started.
Is there, who are some of the names that you're having that are going to be at the festival?
The majority of the people are going to be there, which I was really surprised, because usually, you know, there's maybe 75% can make it of the, you know, the filmmakers and writers and stuff. And this year, I swear, I think we're like at 93%.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's amazing. So really excited about that. We are doing Thursday night, October 4th, is our big opening party, which Neil obviously can't handle because I don't think he's ever come. But we always have more than 500 people there.
He's got to rest up for the weekend.
Yeah, guys. He's got his...
Yeah, exactly.
There's a whole training. It's like doing the Olympics.
Yeah.
Right, he'd never make it through all the movies.
Yeah.
But there's a red carpet, and we have lots of press, and dancing, and food, and DJ. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, we should come to that.
Yeah, you should. Yeah.
Where is it this year?
It's at Bar Sinister again.
Oh,
I don't
right.
know if you guys have been there, have you?
It's been a while. Yeah, but we've been there before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool club. Yeah, you should come.
We're in. I'm coming to that.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
And the comedy.
And if you guys want to do interviews or something, let me know and I'll make sure that you're there for press. If not, I'll stick you on the list and you can get in.
Oh, great. Cool. Thank you.
So if you're coming as press, you'd want to be there before 7. If you're just coming to enjoy the party, come at 8.
Got it. And then we'll be there for ashes. So
yeah.
Well, so we're into about Saturday. We're into early evening, Saturday night. So do you have a late night on Saturday after Camp Colebrook?
Now we have Soul to Keep at 10 p.m. And that is...
that's not a rom-com?
Yeah, it's a romantic comedy. Branch out a little bit.
With demons.
With demons.
It is a possession film.
Ah, I was right.
The interesting twist is the lead actress is deaf.
Really?
So we are going to be showing that in closed caption.
That's really cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep, and we're going to have a Q&A, and she will be there, and we're going to have... a bunch of representatives from the deaf community coming as well. It's really interesting because in the movie, there is signing, quite a bit of signing between the characters because she really is deaf. And but it's kind of an interesting twist on horror, and they use it wisely.
Oh, cool. Well, that sounds good too.
That's really cool. You know, that's again, it's what we've been talking about. What we're saying is like this genre is open to so much inventive filmmaking, like possession, someone without hearing, signing, all that stuff. Like how, what a cool way to tell a story.
And even comedy too.
Yeah.
You can fit comedy in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
So
now it really, people, that's what blows my mind every year. And the quality's getting better and better. Let me tell you guys, it was so hard to pick these films. And so sad to reject ones because they were so good. There were 300 shorts in the yes pile.
Wow.
And we only show 35.
Well, one of the things that I remember you saying over the years is that you've tried to program multiple rooms going at once, and then fans were getting angry because they were in a feature and they would miss the shorts and vice versa. Yes. So you made a conscious decision to... no pun intended, to cull down the programming. and
because it was hard. People had to pick and choose what they wanted to watch. And I'd rather everyone be able to see everything.
Oh, yeah. And so you have you have much fewer slots, probably about half of what you would, if you were programming like multiple rooms.
Right. Exactly. But I think it works out better and people appreciate it more because they can see it. Like Neil, he can see everything.
Right?
This is the Neil show.
Yeah.
Well, it's his weekend.
Yeah,
it's his big event.
It's like his anniversary.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Right.
So,
and now let's see, continuing with the features, Sunday at 4 o'clock. Is that right? Yeah, 4 o'clock. We have Soundwave. It's the world premiere. And oh my gosh, I love this movie. It is about, I don't want to give too much away, but this inventor, a young inventor, he creates a device that can pick up sound waves so that he can hear any conversation, present or past.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It is so unique. Someone definitely needs to scoop this movie up. Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool premise. And I really like, again, it's like, it's using like, you know, technology and horror thriller, you know.
All combined
to tell a story.
To mix genre, which is great. Like I remember I saw a movie there. It was a year or two ago. It was kind of a time travel-y type movie where...
Time lapse.
Yes. That was it, where it was a giant camera that would take pictures of...
yes, wasn't something that amazing?
Next door. Yeah. And it would take pictures of what was going on next door, but it would show you the future in the picture. So it screwed up the lives of a fair amount of people that were living there once they found the camera and they started taking pictures of each other, like what they were doing, like... What was only like, and it wasn't very far. It was like a day or two into the future. So it was really cool.
Right. And And then they started using it to like make money.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that movie too.
And
so great.
And sure enough, 6 to 8 months later, I saw it on demand on VOD.
Of course.
So, yeah,
oh, because it got really?
Picked up. Yeah,
nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a great movie. I'm really glad it's doing well.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we're on Sunday. After Soundwave, what do we have?
We have Sick for Toys at 6 o'clock, and this one is Sick and Twisted. I know there are some fans out there that love this stuff. Every year I try to have something that could have potential walkouts.
You're the only festival programmer that would ever, there's no other film festival that goes, we got to have at least one movie that walks people.
Well, my reasoning is, see, like last year, oh, I can't think of which one it was, but there was one and people started walking out and my volunteers were like, what's happening? This is not good. And I go, just wait. I said, the ones that stay are going to walk out saying it's the best thing they've ever seen. And they did.
So that is the most niche programming ever.
Yeah.
The small segment of society, of horror film fans.
Yes.
That want the most freaky, gross out, mm-hmm. whatever shocking thing.
So what you do is you weed out the people, and then whatever 10 people are left in the theater, you have arrested.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Or at least right. tracked.
Yeah.
At least observed.
Or analyzed, right? Yeah. For psychosis of some sort.
So without giving too much away, just so we know, what is Sick for Toys about?
It is about a woman who likes to have toys for Christmas. But they are not a toy like you would think. It's people.
Okay. I think I'm already seeing where this is going.
I can already see when I would walk out of this.
Yeah.
Neil will be sitting there all excited.
Yes.
Neil will be. It's always like, we're making this movie for 10 Neils.
Yeah, yeah. He's not going to leave his cot for the entire thing.
He'll be in his footy pajamas.
Yeah.
He'll be ready to go.
Yeah. And then we have the closing film at 8 p.m. is Killer Kate. And it has all kinds of Danielle Burgess, Tiffany Shappis, lots of scream queens, lots of blood, and some comedy thrown in too. It's a fun one.
Oh, cool. And that's your closing film?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Great. All right. So that sounds like an amazing feature programming. So how do the shorts look this year?
Oh my gosh.
Well, I guess 300 yeses, pretty good.
So, I know, right?
So 10% of the yeses got in. And maybe about that?
35 films got in.
Yeah, so that's, it's less.
Because you said you had 300 yeses and only 35 made it? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yep. That's amazing.
I know. It's so difficult.
It speaks, too, though, to what we're saying about there's so many, you know, Chris and I started doing short films.
Yep.
And it's such a great...
That's how Denise and I met at a short and Shriek Fest many years ago.
Yeah. And that's how you start. That's how you cut your teeth. And it also shows that, you know, short content is people are make, there's such a, you know, with YouTube, obviously there's so many great platforms to really figure out how to write, direct, shoot, edit short content that it speaks to why you have so many well-made short movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely, and the barrier is much lower now to actually make a short,
is
great.
Exactly. Now, and so Chris's film was Rainbow's End, which is an awesome short.
Yep, many years ago. It's on YouTube in the CFN channel if you want to check it out.
Nice. Yeah, it was like 2005?
Something like that. Yeah. Was it that long ago? It was. Have you noticed an increase in the quality of the special effects on the shorts now, too, as the years have progressed? Yep. Now that, because that entry point is also lower.
Yes. It's really quite amazing. You watch them and you think, what was the budget on this? But really, it was more that it's just more that people know how to do effects now. And more people are adept at it. And they're using it.
So give us some highlights of the short programs that are coming up. The short programs are just Saturday, Sunday, right?
Yes, Saturday and Sunday. They start at noon. The first blocks are at noon each day and then 2 p.m. each day as well. And I try to do a nice mix of things so that we had a little bit of everything going on. There's a lot of horror comedy this year. We got some clowns. We've got serial killers. We've got psychological horror. We've got some sci-fis too. I think 4 or 5 sci-fis that are pretty good. And everything really is tight, tight little films, strong stories, nothing typical at all.
What was the total amount that were submitted for features and shorts this year?
You know, I have not even counted. I have that on my to-do list to get the final count, and things just keep coming up, these darn emails. So I haven't gotten to that yet, but hopefully soon. It is. I looked at it on my list today. I'm like, nope, I can't get to that today.
So,
but I will count eventually.
But it's got to be hundreds, right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because, well, I mean, think we got 300 in the yes pile of the shorts.
It's got to be thousands.
Yeah, it's probably, yeah, that's true. It's probably thousands if you add them all complete with submissions, right?
I don't know, thousands, but maybe 1,000.
That's a lot of viewing. And you know, yes, what's interesting is that you actually, I know we were talking about this before, like this is one of the few festivals that the festival programmer yourself watches every single film that comes in.
I know, I'm crazy.
Yeah, because I remember you saying like, well, yeah, we have programmers, but you're so afraid that you're going to miss something that you watch every single feature and every single short that comes through. And as a filmmaker, that's pretty cool. If you're submitting to a festival and go, you know what, the festival programmer is going to watch my movie regardless, that makes me want to submit more.
Ah, well, cool. You know, it's funny, some of the films that are in this year, they'll email me and they'll go, have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, are you kidding me? It wouldn't be in if I hadn't seen it. This is my baby. Mm-hmm. I got to make sure. And you know, when I say that I worry about missing things, there have been films where like a judge, it'll go to the first judge and they'll say no on it and pass. And it'll go to another judge and they'll say no. And then I watch and I'm like, what the heck are they talking about? But I know what's par for Shriekfest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're comparing it to. I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't their cup of tea. But sometimes things aren't my cup of tea, but I know that they're perfect for Shriekfest.
Right, right. Well, it's, you know, like every festival, it's a brand. And, you know, you've built that up over 18 years. So you know your audience and what they want. And then, but your audience also gets bigger every year, too.
Right, exactly. And do you know that our short programs sell out?
I did know that. I remember you saying that a year or two ago. So, you know, if you want to see the shorts, you got to get there early.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What? Now, one of the things we talked about over email is, too, since my daughter is now 13 and a big horror fan, I was like, you know, there's no IMDb guide on a film festival films.
Right.
So so I had to ask you, like, you know, what's appropriate for a 13-year-old who likes It and Stranger Things and some of these other movies and, like, The Grudge and what to avoid.
If she likes It, I think she can handle most of it.
Yeah.
There's one short that is disturbing and I don't think she should watch.
Right.
It's called A Doll Distorted.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. And you said stay away from Sick for Toys.
Yeah, there's a lot of sex in that. And I'm not sure you want her seeing that.
Probably not. No. So I was thinking of maybe we'll come Friday to see Alive and Echoes of Fear.
Echoes of Fear has... I don't want to give anything away, but there is...
Well, we could tell. You could tell me off the air.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, there's just one little scene that might be, but they don't show anything, but it alludes to something. And I don't know if that'd be too much for her or not.
Okay.
But,
we can continue that conversation over email for no spoilers.
Yeah. Yes. Wonderful.
Because it's the kind of thing, too, where I'm trying to expose my kids to more, in a weird way, culture and film festivals, and like understand that there's more film out there than just going to, you know, the multiplex. And and this is a great way to do it, especially for, you know, I've got a little horror fan.
I think that's great. Yeah. So how old was she when she started liking them?
Well, I put it off for a long time, so I wouldn't let her see the movie. Yeah. So it's a new thing. Probably about 12. Like, she goes to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal with us.
She
loves it. And but she's been bugging me since 10. So I was like, I know what you can handle. It's a little bit longer. Just wait till 12, and then, you know, now she's been fine with what we've been showing her.
My daughter's 10, and like, she doesn't even want to see the poster for Shriekfest.
Yeah, my son is like that. He doesn't like horror at all. So he's 10, and he's like, nope, not seeing that. Nope. And you know, but she, for whatever reason, gravitated towards it. And
that is,
you know,
great.
And she's excited to see more stuff.
Well, good. Well, she's gonna have a blast at Shriekfest.
Yeah. And she does, because you know, of this podcast and how many movies we've actually seen. Like, when she asks me about a movie, 90% of the time I'm able to go no, yes, like almost instantly. Right. And if I don't know,
you guys see a lot.
Yeah. And if I don't know, I just go to IMDb and look up the Parents Guide. But like I said, you can't do that at a film festival. Uh-huh.
So you gotta
ask the festival programmer, you know.
Right.
So all right, Denise, we're gonna wrap it up a little bit. Any what are you looking forward to for Shriekfest that's like anything different you're doing this year, and what's in the future for the festival in both places?
Well, let's see. Different. We started last year doing the private VIP red carpet early, and that was crazy successful. We had people lining up down the street, around the corner, to get into the party, because we were still doing the VIP red carpet part. So,
oh, wow.
I mean, that went really, really well. And adding Shriekfest Orlando, it's interesting because, you guys, imagine if you started all your stuff over.
Right.
And it's difficult. So last year, you know, it was back to smaller houses. It was kind of soul crushing at first. I'm like, oh man, I'm so used to LA and not worrying, are people going to show up, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that did come loved it.
Right.
And so I'm hoping this year there's even more, because I don't know if I could take small houses again. Really, it is tough.
Yeah, it's a different audience than, you know, LA, and Orlando is definitely, you know, you've got different residents, let's put it that way.
Yes, and there are definitely horror fans here.
Yeah.
But what's funny is, so like, you know, before the movies, I would introduce the shorts and the director and stuff, and, you know, clap, and people kind of look like, why are we clapping? Because they're horror fans, they're not filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having to change that up a little bit. Like, I think I'll announce it all and we'll clap at the end, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You got to train them for when they come back next year. Mm-hmm. Like, oh no,
exactly.
This is when we clap. Well,
yep.
That's so what's in the future plans for Shriekfest? Are you adding a third location? Are you going to add another room, like anything? And are you going to just kind of keep it the way it is and grow it?
In a perfect world, we would keep adding cities.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
But I honestly don't know if I can handle that. I'm already a stressed mess.
I can't imagine doing two cities.
No, it's difficult. You'd think it would be easy because it's basically the same program. But there are two programs you have to type up and make and get printed. And then there's double postcards because you need to promote everywhere. Promoting in two cities is quite difficult because the first year, I literally got to Orlando from the LA one, and like 3 days later, we did the Orlando Festival.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, that was difficult. So this time I have a month because I need to really promote Orlando. Because even though you think you can promote both, you can't. You got to target different companies and press. It's interesting.
Hmm.
but I'm learning.
That sounds great.
Well, where can people go? Yeah. What's the website if they want to go to either one of these festivals in either city?
Shriekfest.com, and then you click festivals, and there's a drop down, and it'll say attending Orlando or attending LA. And you can click for the schedules and tickets, and all of that's right there.
Well, Chris and I will be at the opening night party, and maybe we'll be around that weekend. Neil will definitely be there.
Yeah. If you see any movie Shriekfest, you'll see Neil.
You'll see.
So, and, you know, most likely my daughter and I will be one of these days for sure. We want to check out some of these movies. And then we will see you in a couple weeks, Denise.
Excellent. I'm super excited to see you guys. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Good luck this year as always.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. See you soon, guys.
Bye, Denise.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, guys, that is our show. And look forward to Shriekfest. If you're in LA, hopefully we'll see you down at the festival.
Yeah, come down, guys. Support these. This festival is really cool. We talk about it every year for good reason because it's got really cool inventive stuff. And like Denise was saying.
And it's all indie. It's not owned by a big corporate sponsor. It's really, it's every year indie. 18 years of indie.
18 years of indie. And you're going to see movies on the big screen, the features. Most of them are going to get distribution somewhere. So you get to kind of be a part of, you're helping, supporting independent filmmakers and artists. And it's just a cool, fun festival. I mean, so yeah, check it out, you guys. And thanks for listening to this little bonus, extra special episode, whatever, whatever we're calling it.
Enjoy and horror it up.
Go scream it up. My name's Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Spooky.